is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real. All is singing at church. Oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole.
His love for me,
oh, yes, it
is better than gold.
Well, my God is real,
for I can feel him in my soul. There are some
Israel. Somebody say praise the Lord. How many of you believe he's real tonight? You know, there's times you don't feel him, but you know he's there. Brother Branham gave such a great example of see, taste, feel, smell it here on a tape. I just thought, there's times we're walking, we feel like we're the only ones that's doing anything walking wise. But you know, really, when you get right there, you're not even walking. Somebody's carrying you. Are you glad you got somebody to carry you when you don't feel like walking yourself? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them with the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them at church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Play it, boys, one more time, if you will. Hallelujah. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, all can go on and leave me alone.
But as for me, I'm gonna take God's part.
Say praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a bit while we look at our prayer requests tonight. just commit all these things unto the Lord. As we get ready to pray, Brother Sam Clark says to please pray for my daughter-in-law, Amy Clark. She is in the hospital, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Here's a prayer request for Sister Amber McCall, also Christy Williams. The Lord knows all about the situation. We just commit it all into the Lord tonight. Sister Linda Phillips has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that into the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Bert Grabley. He is having severe pain in his back, so let's remember that need tonight. Brother Ron, Sister Naomi Daly sends us in to please pray for our brother-in-law, Kenneth Adams, in Jasper, Georgia. He's in the hospital with pneumonia and a staph infection. It's developed from a bladder infection, which has gone into his blood. He needs healing, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord will be mindful of that. I want to pray for Faye Bailey, who is having several complications from surgery. Just ask for prayer for her healing, so let's remember that need tonight. This is from Brother Greg, Sister Julia May. Brothers and sisters, please pray for Kristen Napier. She has been diagnosed with cancerous mass on her colon. She is the mother of two small children. She's 29 years old. They're just asking that we would remember her in prayer, that the Lord would take every step of the journey with her. And, well, we know he's able to give her peace in the time of trouble, don't we? We believe that tonight. This is from Brother Jose Manley. Please pray for Isaac, who has been sick for the past few days. Thank you, and may God bless. So we just commit these things unto the Lord tonight. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, do you believe we're serving a prayer-answering God? Yes, you believe it with all your heart? Amen. Isn't he the greatest thing that ever got a hold of your life? Amen. Are you glad he turns you around, give you a new outlook on life? You appreciate that from him tonight? Yes, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Wes, come tonight as we stand. Come and let's just pray over these needs tonight. God is certainly faithful. May we just trust his precious word for these requests. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much. As we were just walking in tonight, just coming up the parking lot, I could feel the collective presence of all these different licks of fire coming together, Father, in faith. Lord, it's such a wonderful thing. I know we don't have to feel anything, Lord, but tonight your presence is so strong already in the service. I've just felt such an anointing come down, Lord, as we were worshiping and singing. Lord, we love you so much. We know that as we come together and agree for these prayer requests, we know that it opens a floodgate, Lord. Like when we agree on your word, we know that the prayers go out and that lives are changed, and we can see miracles and healing and deliverance and salvation and refilling and filling of the Holy Ghost, Lord, by the fire coming down from heaven itself. Lord Jesus, it's such a precious time. We just thank you so much for it. There's so many serious requests here, Lord. Different sicknesses, different ailments, different things people are going through mentally, physically, spiritually. But Lord, we know that you're not just capable of handling each and every one of these situations, Lord. You're not just capable. You're more than able. You're more than able. It's already done, as long as we can stand in faith on your word and believe. And we're doing that tonight, Lord. We're so grateful to you, so thankful to you for such an avenue as this, that we can come before the mighty Creator and lay these petitions down and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, with all doubt aside and pushed back, Lord, we know with all faith that you are going to address each one of these, and you are going to handle each one of these, Lord, because you have promised it in your word that all we have to do is ask. Lord, I thank you so much. It's so precious to us. Everything can change in a moment, Lord, if we just believe. And we just thank you so much, Lord, for giving us this ability, for putting this faith in us that helps us and makes us able to just believe what you say. Lord, there's so much power in your word and in coming together and in worshiping, Lord. We're just so grateful, Lord, for what's going to happen tonight. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Somebody say glory. Glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him a real good hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. With all your heart. Amen. Do we have a church here Wednesday night or what? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Tell you what, it was to the modern world, they think we're a bunch of nuts because we enjoy preaching like that. But I'm going to tell you something, it's right down the believer's alley. It's right down the middle of the road to a real believer. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's sing about it tonight if you will. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. And for my cleansing, this my plea.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Won't you see with all your heart? Amen. Ushers, why don't you come tonight, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Good to be in church on Saturday night, isn't it? It's a Saturday night place to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus together. Our God reigns. As Brother Harvey and Sister Shirley, if they'll make their way to the platform, be getting ready to sing. Brother Brandon will be singing after them. But let's sing this little chorus tonight. I sing it because I love it, and I sing it mostly because it ain't nothing but the truth. Our God reigns. People around the world, politicians, all sorts of people thinking that they rule the world, they run the world, they rule the universe. Let me tell you something. Our God reigns. He'll let them play their little games for a while. He'll let them do their little things for a while. But I'm going to tell you something. In the ultimate end, our God reigns. I'm glad I'm on the winning team tonight. Are you? Are you glad you're on the winning side? Rest of you don't know who you belong. Are you glad you're on the winning side? Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Our God reigns. Can be seated. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing for you.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Song Sunday.
through the valley, then toward the setting of the sun. Lead me safely to a land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend, Lord, whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, oh my.
Call to Him, He will answer us. If we'll run to Him, He will run to us. If we'll lift our hands, He will lift us up. Come and praise His name, all you saints of God. And sing for joy to God. Is here with us. Give Him your love. He's in love with us. He will heal our hearts. He will cleanse our hands. If we'll rend our hearts, He will heal our land. So sing for joy to God, our strength. Yes, sing. He will heal our hearts. He will cleanse our hands. If we'll rend our hearts, He will heal our land. So sing for joy to God, our strength. Yes, sing for joy to God, our strength. Our strength. Draw near to Him, He is here with us. Give Him your love, He's in love with us. He will heal our hearts, He will cleanse our hands. If we'll rend our hearts, He will heal our.
How many is happy tonight?
Amen.
How many wishes you was happy? Apparently some of you ain't. You just like to be made happy, huh? Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. See your God tonight? Brother Donnie, I've got so many things to be sad about, but I guarantee if you was to ever sit down and go to counting them, you've got a whole lot more to be happy about. As a matter of fact, we're going to pray here momentarily. Brother Mike Order is over in North Carolina, the service leader for Brother Joe Green. His wife has had some kind of a situation today. He found her, and she wasn't able to get her awake. Heart's beating, blood pressure normal, this. Finally, they've determined that she has a blood clot, apparently, at the base of her head, the base of her brain, and they flew her to Asheville just a few moments ago by helicopter, and they're trying to save her life. So see, you do have a lot to be happy about. So Phil, what was that with your wife? What if that was your wife? My wife or your wife? What if that was your wife, Lance? You talking about something to be sad about. But you know how we are as a body. Even though it ain't my wife or your wife or one of our sisters, we feel for them tonight. And we believe our God is a mighty God who can reach out to such needs. I'm sure you have desires, requests on your heart tonight that you'd like to take before the Lord. So before we read the word, can you'd like to be made known, just raise it up to the Lord. And amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, our hearts certainly reaching out to Brother Michael Orders and his family. Dear Jesus, our sister, you see this thing that's happened to her, Lord, and they don't know exactly what caused it. They first thought it was a stroke, maybe her heart, but then they've determined that it was a blood clot, so they're trying to save her life. Dear God, we believe that we're brought on this earth to serve your purpose. Though we have many sicknesses and afflictions and troubles that affect us, that devil cannot take us until your purpose is done. We believe that, Lord. We have seen you do so many wonderful things. So we're calling upon your great name tonight, dear God, and asking you for mercy. Lord, we thank you for physicians and what they're able to do to be able to help us. And we know, Lord, for sure, if it's her time to go, there's not a physician on the face of the earth that would be able to keep her here. But Lord God, you know how we are. We hate to see one another go. Husbands hate to see their wives cross before them, or wives, or children, or parents. We want to hold on to one another. So we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you just move for them, Father? Ultimately, it's your will that we want, and it is your will that we will be satisfied with. May you move for our sister tonight, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Also, Father, raised up here in this building tonight with hundreds of hands, requests for different things. I'm sure if I would give them the opportunity, they would be so diverse if each one would be able to come up here and speak about their request. Some of them may be so private and so personal that they wouldn't even want to make it known. But you know, and you can look at every heart. So we pray tonight that you'd minister to each heart and each request. Lord, we have several people out on vacation, traveling around with their families here and there. We pray for your guiding hand, for your protection, Lord. We believe we need you every hour. Lord, here just recently, Brother Darrell, several trips, almost hit a deer, and somebody run across the road, almost hit him, just one instance after another. Lord God, we need you on the highways. We need you when we fly. We need you every hour, Lord God. When we could go to the grocery store, to Walmart, wherever it is, we need you, Lord, to protect us and guide us. We ask that you'd help us. As we look into your word tonight, Father, I pray that you would anoint us. Open our understanding, Lord, as we open your word. I can open the Bible and I can study it, but Lord, it takes you to make the word real. So would you do it tonight, Father? We love you with all of our hearts. Thank you for letting us be gathered together here tonight on Saturday night, Lord. Oh, we love church. We love being in your house, Father. Just minister to us and meet with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Song of Solomon.
Amen.
Chapter 2. How many brought your shotgun? I've got a few extra if you didn't bring one. Let's go fox hunting again tonight. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Turn around and tell the person sitting by you, let's go fox hunting. Now, this fox may not be in your life tonight. I doubt seriously that there will be anybody here in the visible realm that will have not fought this. But just perchance that there's somebody here that's closer to God than what I as the shepherd realize. They have breakfast with angels, lunch with cherubims, supper with seraphims. They don't fight earthly battles like the rest of us mortals. Then I'd certainly like to meet you in the office after service. Because I didn't know you come to our church. I thought that we had just mortals that fight battles like everybody else. But occasionally there will be visitors that will come in that I don't see them and I don't know who they are. So if there would be anyone here tonight, I would certainly like to make your acquaintance after church. Otherwise, I feel like probably most of us will be able to be identified with this little fox. We looked at him the last time that I spoke on this little fox of lukewarmness, but I didn't hardly get him massacred as much as I'd like to. So I thought there might be a little wiggle left in his tail, and I thought there might be a slight movement in the left front paw that was still moving a little bit, and it bothered me. So I thought really that by the grace of God, with the Lord helping us, that we might want to go ahead and strike this little fox again. Because you know how little foxes are. They don't always stay little. Unless it's a Kinnick fox or a swift fox. Most of you may not know what that is, but it's a little tiny fox about this big, and that's the mature size, a Kinnick fox or a bat-eared fox from Africa, which are all three smaller than our fox. But even at their mature age, they have a mature thinking. So the best way to take care of that is to be able to try to kill it in your life. That does not mean now that the others won't come in. Now, if we're able, by the grace of God, to be able to go fox hunting tonight and kill one tonight, one in the morning or two, whatever we get to, more than likely it does not mean that there'll be signs upon your property, no foxes ever, don't bother me again, don't come back. Keep in mind, they can't read. So they'll come right underneath your fence. What they'll read is your habits, not your quotes and your signs. They'll not pay any attention to your no trespassing sign. They'll not pay any heed to any warnings that you have. Warning, I'm a Holy Ghost filled believer. What they will watch is your everyday life. And they will watch for signs that you compromised just a little bit. You've not prayed like you should, not read your Bible like you should. Those are the signs that they will pay heed to instead of the verbal quotes or scriptures that you try to post in your life. They're not out for them anyway. Notice, let us read this if you would now as a reminder. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 15. To the message to the Laodicean church. How many believes in time we are still in the Laodicean church age?
By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have moved into eternity. Amen. We are in the bride age as far as eternal goes. Amen. We are in the eighth day as far as eternal goes. Amen. But in time, we are still in Laodicea. Amen. And we're still affected by the conditions of the Laodicean age. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now this is how serious that being lukewarm is. Keep in mind, not one lukewarm believer will go in the rapture. There will not be one lukewarm person that will ever get a body change. That within itself is quite sobering. If God allows one lukewarm person in, He'll have to allow them all in. So God takes care of that, and He allows none of them in. So lukewarmness is a very serious thing in the eyes of God. Notice Brother Ram says it this way. The Laodicean church age, he said, you'd just be lukewarm. It would make God sick at his stomach. He said he'd spew you from his mouth. The Laodicean, just enough religion to make you sick. Now, it's not enough to make you drunk. It's not enough to make you on fire. It's not enough to make you where you love God more than everything else in the world. But it's just enough religion to make you sick, both you and God. Right, so basically it makes you miserable. Notice again, he said, oh, you say, I'm willing for him to be my Savior. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. Jesus, you can be my Savior, but he wants you to be more than your Savior. He wants to be your Lord, and Lord is ownership. Ruler. That's why the church gets in its lukewarm condition. It accepts Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. Now here's a lukewarm believer. They don't want to be lost. They don't want to go to hell. They don't even want to go the tribulation period. They want to be in the bride. They want to be in the rapture. They want to be the church. They want to be all of these things, but they don't want Jesus to be Lord of their life. And that's totally impossible. You cannot be on fire and him not be Lord. You cannot be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, every fiber of your being, and him not be Lord. You cannot be lukewarm and him be Lord. You cannot be left here in the tribulation and him be Lord. You cannot be so filled with the Holy Ghost that you're drunk when you get up and you're drunk when you go to bed and him not be Lord. You can't have both. That's right. Notice, it accepts Christ as Savior. Now, this is the Laodicean age. It accepts Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. Christ wants to be the Lord of your being, to rule and to guide you, which is the position, of course, of a shepherd. Question answers, notice this. The church, the lukewarm, the anything outside of the elected bride will go through the tribulation period. They will not raise in the first resurrection. Now, notice how the dividing line then is based upon the condition of being lukewarm or being on fire. Now, you look at it and you realize in the age that we're living in, we've got Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Presbyterian, 40,000 different denominations now that it's accumulated to, and they're all living in this age. And every one of them fuss, argue, debate, fight, carry on, and yet every one of them are Laodiceans. And at the same time frame and the element of time, the bride is also still here under the Laodicean age. I know there's brothers that are preaching we've moved beyond the Laodicean age and we're over in an eighth day. You better be careful with what you're listening to, because what they're going to do is they're going to make a conjecture that if you're beyond the seventh church age, then you need a new messenger, which is going to mean more than likely it's going to be them. So therefore, then you'll be beyond what the prophet said, you'll be on what the Bible said, and they will be your absolute, and I'll tell you where they'll take you, straight to hell. That's right. We believe around here that we will be right up to the seventh church age until we are raptured. That's right. There is no promise of another messenger. There is no Malachi 4.5. There is no Malachi 3.75. It's Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Praise the Lord. We're not looking for another prophet around here. We're not looking for somebody to raise up and even make what that prophet said more plain and give more clarity to it, because he was a Kentucky hillbilly and didn't know no better that God sent to straighten him out. Tommy Rott, straight from the pits of hell. I don't have time for it. Right. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This is a good way to start it out tonight. Notice in the Laodicean church age, in the church age book, it says that this Laodicean church age group is lukewarm. This lukewarmness demands a penalty from God. The penalty is they will be spewed out of his mouth. And where will they be spewed to? Tribulation period. Spewed into the tribulation period. Glory. But the bride isn't in his mouth. She's from his heart. Notice again now, it goes on to say, what is wrong with these people of the last day? They've gotten away from the word. They are no longer fervent about it. They are lukewarm about it. Now let's look again, if we can, at Laodicea. Beautiful city under Roman dominion. A city which was founded, of course, before Rome. But yet it goes back, you know, quite a long time. Has a great history. Finally destroyed by earthquakes. Annihilated by earthquakes. But yet Laodicea was a great city. God likened the seven cities, of course, that the church ages are written to. He took the characteristics and the traits of those cities and the church in that city and likened them to typify an age. Every one of them typifying an age. And the name Laodicea actually, I found this week, the rule of the people. So it suggested then a democratic state or a democratic church. Isn't it amazing that our age, that the majority of the world is fighting for this very thing, democracy. And yet we know democracy is all sales, but it don't have enough power to really be able to move it. It will be that will lead us, help lead us into the tribulation period, because it is people's rights. So it shows them that the Laodicean, the very name of it, there was a common name among the Roman ladies, actually, to be called Laodicea. So it was a name that was adapted by Roman women, and then also adapted by other Gentile women. So the city itself, it signified that it was a democracy. So it come under, out from under a headship of leaders. So then they wanted to have their own voice. They wanted to be able to say what they wanted to say and have freedom and rights. So it is basically signifying the rights of the people will be one of the dominant things that will happen in the last days. People want their rights. And yet God knew this, and the mercy of God and the love of God. Look at the offer to the Laodiceans in verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest be rich. Now Laodicea, of course, was a very rich, wealthy city. Laodicea was a banking port, a banking city. So they had a lot of banks, so which meant they had a lot of gold and a lot of silver. You imagine now what a contrast it must have seemed like, that God was talking to them as though they were so poor that they couldn't buy anything. But in reality, and wealth and materialistic goods, they had everything because of their city and their wealth and their merchants and what they believed. God also contrasts the same thing when he said, counsel, I counsel you to be able to buy me gold. Well, they had gold, but they didn't have his kind of gold. And he also says, I'll tell you what, I want to give you some garments as well that you can be clothed, because the nakedness, the shame of your nakedness will appear. But what's amazing is, let us, Laodicea was known for three major things. And one of those was, it was a great banking place. The second thing was, it was noted because of the dyeing of black wool. They had a certain way by which they dyed the sheep's wool, and they turned it so black and made it glisten. Their wool was sought after over the entire Roman Empire. And it had such a glisten. Now here, the very things they are boasting in, God is offering them a godly exchange. They think they're wealthy, they got money, they got houses, lands, goods, so on. They got banks, but God said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some goods that'll be able to stand the storms of life. You think you've got all kinds of wealth and you've got this black, beautiful black wool. God never said that it wasn't pretty. God didn't say that it wasn't nice. But God's letting them know that it was not covering their nakedness. So here they are, priding themselves and what they're able to accomplish. But the very thing they're priding themselves in could not cover their spiritual nakedness. You imagine a carnal person in the age of Laodicea. By the time John wrote this, and their wealth was at its prime, and they were a pristine people, a pristine city with ideologies that would rival today. And yet, if they would have heard that John had been on the Isle of Patmos and God would have given him the scripture and talking about them, and they would have by chance been able to read this, and they thought, this guy's crazy. God's offering us gold. We've got gold. We're one of the most wealthy cities in the Roman Empire. God's offering us garments. We make garments here. This is how we're known, by the wool that we manufacture. And God's offering us something. Can't you see, friend? It is a perfect type of Laodicea. When God is trying to take something from you and he offers you something in place of something else, and people are weighing it out. Well, do I want to give it up or not? Do I want to trade it out? And it will be something maybe very similar in your life, that God is trying to offer you something that will bring such peace, such joy, such satisfaction. What will you have to give away? No doubt a crutch that the devil has tried to put in that place, because it's something that you become attached to, whether it's your religion or whether whatever more that it is. But you can't hold on to both. You cannot have your pride and your trust in the black wool of Laodicea and hold on to the white garments of the Lord Jesus at the same time. Totally impossible. Now, then when we look at this other one, now also one of the things that Laodicea was famous for was manufacturing eye salve. They had a medical school in Laodicea, and they manufactured eye salve. So they bank, they have gold, they have wealth, they have silver, they've got all these merchants and exchange rates and all that, and then they come and they make wool. And what does God focus on? God focuses on the three points that they can look at and feel like they have so excelled in. I've done this, I've accomplished that, I've done that, and God wants me to give all that away? Now, there was people that come from all over the known empire. Actually, people, tradesmen would take this salve from Laodicea and they would sell it out among the people, because among the Mediterranean basin, the area there, and the east with all the sand and the dry, they had lots of eye irritations. And they specialized in this medical school. So it shows to us that Laodicean age is going to excel in the medical schools and medical colleges, and they're going to come up with all kinds of healing, this and that and the other. Come on, children. And they're going to be richer than any other age, and they're going to have more wealth and more money and more gold and more this and that and the other. And God said, you're wretched, you're blind, you're miserable, and you're naked. Oh my. I want you to notice the position now that the Lord Jesus takes in the beginning of this 18th verse. I counsel thee. Now, he approaches them from this mediatorship, the position, that he is the counselor. Now, what right would he have to do this? Well, because he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is the great counselor. So he approaches them on this position that I counsel you. Isn't it amazing? He doesn't say, I demand, or I will throw you in hell if you don't. But he approaches them under the auspices of a counselor, trying to get them to reason in their mind. Now, look. This is what you say you are. You've done this and this. But I want you to sit down with me. You see, God calls a conference with us. And this is exactly what he's doing to the Laodiceans. He's actually not meeting them as a God full of wrath and vengeance and hate. But he's actually meeting them at a round table, as we would say. And he's trying to call them to Geneva. That's where a lot of the conventions are. Spiritually, Geneva, Christ the cross. So he's meeting them in Geneva and saying, look, lay it up on the table. So this this is what you've got. This is what you've done. Let me lay what I've got up on the table and I'll show you. And then you will have to make your choice. You understand? Each of us do that same thing in life. And we do the same thing spiritually. So God said, I counsel you. Now, I'm not meeting you as a vengeful God that is so angry and I'm scaring you to death and I'm hanging your soul over hell. But I simply counsel you. You do what you want to. You take my counsel, reject my counsel, but I counsel you. Aren't you glad you accepted it? Aren't you glad he's your counselor tonight? Praise God. Who is it? The Ancient of Days, the Father of the elect, but also the merciful God that reaches out to the non-elect. Praise God. I counsel thee to be able to buy of me gold. Now hear that, they was a banking city. You imagine the vaults or the places wherever they kept them, and they had gold in this bank and gold in that bank and gold in that bank. And they're saying, what kind of gold do you have? Well, my gold is the kind of gold that is represented by faith. And it gets tried in the fire, and it's tried and tried, and the stronger it becomes, the more it is tried. It's like it never reaches a spot until the crowning time of that individual is changed, that you ever reach the height of faith. The height of your faith will be a body change. And yet faith keeps tried again and again and again. And the more it's tried, the stronger it gets. The stronger it gets, the more it's tried. And the more it's tried, the stronger it gets. And the stronger it gets. You understand the equation. God said, this is the kind of gold you need. Listen to me, friends. Here you are living in this age. There's people sitting right here in this building and people listening to this service that have been able by the grace of God to be able to take what Jesus said and say, I have that gold. I have that gold. It is mine. I have that gold. I've seen that mighty God make that gold in my life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Isn't it amazing? They're naked. They're filthy. They're wretched. They're blind. They're miserable. But he sits down with them in that state. And once again humbles himself to talk to people who are so arrogant and full of so much pride, which he hates. But notice the condescension of our Lord again in this age, that he would set as if though they had something to say. Can you imagine a Laodicean telling God anything? Well, I can imagine doing it. They do it every day. How merciful, Brother Terry. I counsel you to buy of me gold. Now this is his reason. That thou mayest be rich. Well, this is contrasting to what they've accomplished. We are rich. Well, we make wool and we make salve and we're doctors and we're RNs and we're, you know, whatever more, and we banked and we are in resale and assets and this and that and the other. We are already rich. He said, no, you're not. With me, you are beggars. With me, you are worse than a homeless man on the street. And this is where every one of us were lost without God in this age. Praise be to God. Brother Gene, aren't you glad you accepted this offer from the divine counselor? Praise the Lord Jesus that thou mayest be rich. Now they were rich in wealth and rich in goods and rich in all kinds of things, but they were not rich in the spirit. I'll tell you one thing. If I have to make my choice between the two, give me the spirit any day. Oh, if you can have a living and have a nice car and a nice home and not go to your head, not hinder your walk with God, so be it. But if I have to choose one between the other, I'll take Jesus any day of the week. I counsel that you buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, contrasting their achievement of black wool. All right. Think about it. That's what our sins are. That's black and dark and filthy. That was our souls. So in exchange for our souls, he gives us snow white garments. Praise God. I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. that thou mayest be clothed. They're thinking, clothed? We've got clothes. We wear some of the best from Rome. The designers designed my wife's clothes. And this toga that I have on, this, whatever more that they wore, why, this thing come from Cappadocia, and this come from here and there from that. He said, but I'm talking about in my eyes. The way I see you, you ain't got on one stitch of clothes. This is the little fox that wants to work its way around your life. And my life. Oh, we're in the message. We have need of nothing. You think it just goes to the Pentecostals and the Church of God and the Church of Christ? Oh no, that spirit will try to come right in our church, try to come in around your life. God's blessed me so much. I've got so much going on in my life. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I'm just so blessed. I ain't got time to go to church. You're way beyond blessed what I ever want to be. I don't ever want to be blessed that much. Oh, Brother Donnie, you're just so simple. You still need to go to church. Well, call me whatever you want to do. I call it obedience to the word. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that much more as you see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. White raiment. Now, this contrast, they're beautiful. They say this wool was so black and so shiny that it looked like a raven's wing. How they were able to accomplish it was still a mystery. How they was able to do it, because you know, a matte finish that dye normally has when it goes into the wool, but they were able somehow by this process, which was a mystery, a secret, how they was able to produce it, and they were sought after all over the world. Oh, Russia wanted their stuff from Hollywood, and Estonia wanted their stuff from Hollywood, and Czechoslovakia, and all around the world, they wanted their stuff from Laodicea. But God said, I hate to tell y'all, but y'all was as naked as it was the day you was born. Y'all realize y'all ain't got a stitch of clothes on? And they said, idiot preacher. That John, well, the man's went nuts out there on the island by himself. He's lost his mind out there, and he had some kind of vision and translation. Well, we ain't got no scientific proof that he ever had no vision out there in Patmos. I'd like some newspaper accounts where this was ever vindicated. I'd like to know who, that we've only got one man's word that this ever happened to him on the book of Revelation. I'll take it. Y'all want newspaper articles to prove Revelation? Y'all want YouTube videos to prove Revelation is true? You got one man's word for it. Well, glory. Hallelujah. But God is bringing to pass and has brought to pass for thousands of years what that man said. That it was exactly not John on the Isle of Patmos having some kind of dream, but it was the Lord Jesus making known to John his apocalypsis, which is what Revelation means, the unveiling. Oh, hallelujah. Notice this. Stripping. In the Bible, stripping, removing clothes, is commonly used to denote putting in shame. Read with me in 2 Samuel 10:4. Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. And when they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. So this man, this was a common term, even before the New Testament was ever written. When people's clothes were taken off of them, it was a shame. Unless you're insane. Then if you're insane, of course, it's Laodicea. It's cool. I'd say it would be cool to run around no clothes on. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, I know men in this day, they can't keep out of their wives' closet and they got to wear shorts and all that sort of thing. I seen a guy the other day that waited on me in a place of business here in Johnson City. I'm telling you what, it looked like that man had gorilla legs. He had on a pair of shorts that's above his knees here. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. I mean, I just looked at him. I was spellbound by these. I'd never seen anything quite like I thought. I've never seen a gorilla in shorts, but for my first time, this gorilla's conversing with me and he's talking with me, and this gorilla has shorts. And I thought, what in the world is the matter with people? Are you saying, if you had a set of legs like that, looks like to me, you'd want to hide them things, not show it. And you're in a public place working out here every day. Oh, Brother Donnie, it's so cool now. I agree. I was at Lowe's one day this winter. It was about 10 degrees. I've seen some of them guys coming in there, short breeches on, up above their knees, 10 degrees, with earmuffs and a woolly hat on and a big coat. And short breeches on the other part. They're insane. Now when David hears about these men coming in, so they shave off half their beard. Now that looked really strange. Today again, it looked cool. Whatever weird you can do, man, that's the coolest thing going. But in that day, it wasn't so cool. So they cut part of their clothes off, and then they cut their beard. Now notice, and David tells them, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return. So you know what they done? They put clothes on these guys to cover their nakedness. And they sent them out there until their beards growed back because it was a shame. Well, don't tell me I'm going to have to have church tonight again by myself. Isaiah chapter 20 verse 3. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder. Boy, some of these people around the message want to be a prophet, really? What God put them genuine prophets through, Lord have mercy. You imagine a man like this running around as a sign, a prophetic sign, eating bread made out of cow manure? God told him to use human dung. He said, oh God, please be merciful to me. And God said, all right, substitute cow for it. Oh, thanks. I was hoping you'd go with flour or meal. Now notice, in verse 4, and so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopian captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Yes, sir. So when people were showing private parts of their body, it was a shame. Amen. Here we go again. Well, praise the Lord. Hosea chapter 2 verse 3. God says to Israel now this is not to the Egyptians or the Ethiopians, let's not strip her naked and set her as in the day when she was born, and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. So whenever people were naked, it was a shame. And God said to the Laodicean age, you are naked. Can't you see, Happy Valley Church, what Satan would love to do to you? He would love to take the cloth of the Word of God of this hour, piece by piece, away from you. So you will look like the rest of the stripped off Laodiceans. Oh, some of you will never dress like them naturally, and you still come to church and you still hold your spot in the pew, but you're lukewarm in your heart. You're lukewarm in your prayer life. You're lukewarm in listening to tapes, reading your Bible, even saying amen to the word. Oh my. Hosea 2:9, then will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. I hear God is telling Israel, I found you when you was in that mess. I found you, Ezekiel 16, I found you beside of the way. I found you in your blood, and I looked at thee and I said, yea, live. I said unto thee, live. I clothed thee with clothes. I put broidered work upon you. I've done all these things, but now you've got away from me. And God said, now I'm taking my clothes back. And it's the natural tendency of man when God takes his clothes back for the man to strip off and go naked spiritually. Notice Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment. So you see, it's something you and I have to do. Well, if I've got to keep them, it means somebody's wanting them. Somebody's wanting your wedding garment. But it's made for me. It's got my name on it. And they ain't getting it. Amen. Notice, keep us his garments lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So nakedness of the human body is identified with shame. Now then, on the other hand, whenever someone would give clothes or would give an above average or normal quantity of clothes, it was a great sign of blessing and love and so on. In Genesis 41:41, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures. Now, not one. Vestures, plural, of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. So clothes has a status symbol. A status symbol. Now, it comes from the prism of the whatever more that he had on, and he shaves down there, takes a bath, he comes up, interprets Pharaoh's dream, and when he does, then Pharaoh does not let him remain with those clothes on that he had, which was pretty fitting, no doubt, for prison, but he said, "You cannot be my chancellor. You cannot be the mediator between me and men." Hallelujah. Looking like that. So you've got to have on fine linen. You've got to have a gold chain about your neck, deity wrapped around with a key, of course. So it was the key to the kingdom. You have got to have your clothes changed in order to identify that your status has changed. Oh, children, don't you understand why we can't look like Laodicea, dress like Laodicea, talk like Laodicea? We've got to have our clothes on, not only outside but on the inside, as a spiritual status that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Notice that whenever Joseph makes himself known to his brethren. Genesis chapter 45 verse 21. As the children of Israel did so, Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment. Changes of raiment. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and grace. Changes of raiment. Oh my goodness, is this just to love one above the other? But Benjamin was his brother, not only by the same father, but the same mother. Oh, let the Laodicean Gentiles, let them that'll be saved, let them call him Papa if they want to. It'll be for him to testify back to them whether or not they're sons. But you see, we don't just come, amen. We don't just come from the pouring of the heart of God from the cross of Christ. It's not just from there, but our mother is the same mother as the Lord Jesus. God took his body from Mother Earth. Ours will come from the same place. Our home is brought down from where? The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heaven and earth have kissed. God and man have met together. A restored Eden has begun. Future home, 1964. A restored, oh glory to God, a restored Eden has begun. It's not going to begin after a while, my friend. It has already started. We are well in the process of a restored Eden going on right here tonight. I am preaching, glory to God, I am preaching to Eden inhabitants tonight. I am preaching to people that are going to walk down streets of gold in the restored Eden. Notice again to the Laodicean age in verse 18. Anoint thine eyes with coon grease. Remember the story Brother Brown telling about the coon grease? Liken it to Asaph. Being raised in a coal house up in the attic, him and his brother Humpy, the others, and they'd wake up and they'd have an old tarp over their bed. And they'd wake up in the morning and their eyes was all matted together. Any of y'all ever been there? Probably most of you ain't. Soft lead of sins. I'm glad you don't have to be honest. But they couldn't see it. They'd say, Billy, come on down. And said, Mama, I can't see. So she'd have to render out some lard if that old lady that made the hams had any lard left. And if not, they'd have to use coon grease as a cure-all. But the coon grease within itself, since it was in Laodicea, it kind of get hard after a while. So you had to warm it up over some Holy Ghost fire. You see, I believe we've got the salve, don't you? The word, the tapes, the singing and all that. But it still needs to be warmed up by anointed ministry to be able to find what you need for this particular night. Now, I could have preached on Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Joseph, Joseph begat so-and-so, but I don't figure any of y'all is really concerned about the genealogy of Abraham. You're fighting devils. You need something to help you in the hour of need. Is that right? So it takes the Holy Ghost to lead the servants of God in this hour down the direction of be able to pull the portion of grease that's needed over the fire and warm it up and make it real soft. Then here goes Mama up the steps, taking that coon grease and rubbing in them eyes. Get over to Billy and get over to Humpy and rub them, and they go to clearing up a little bit. You go to rubbing it on, and you kind of say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, I think I see three. Rub a little more. Well, then some of the message folks, they got to rubbing a little bit, and they cross-rubbed and back-rubbed, and they used to believe in three. Then they started believing in one, and then they had some false prophet to rub a bunch of this old perverted grease in their eyes, and the time they got done with two lords. You're worse than the Trinitarians was. I'll tell you one thing, brother, sister, we need to get some of that eye salve and rub all these gods out of our eyes. We need to rub out and realize Father, Son, Holy Ghost is titles to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not three gods in heaven. The prophet said the devil told you that to make a heathen out of you. Well, praise the Lord. So she'd have to rub and rub and rub. Rub all that Trinitarian baptism out of you. And women preachers, boy, that fell off too. Tongues been the evidence of the Holy Ghost, that fell off too. And before long, you're sitting up in the bed looking around and saying, praise the Lord, I can see. Oh, hallelujah. Well, God says to the Laodiceans, it's cold down there. The Laodicean flu's going around. A lot of folks think they're Christians when they're not Christian. They have a temperature and then they cool off. Then they have a temperature and they cool off. It's the Laodicean flu. And they're lazy and they're soft. They've got more. I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. They've got more than they've ever had. They've got wealth. They've got houses. They've got boats. They've got cars. They've got everything in the world that people would need except for peace and satisfaction and joy and love and understanding and kindness and mercy. Oh, hallelujah. But God said, I've got some eyesight. But the problem with the majority of the Laodiceans was it was the apothecary that God used to administer the eyesalve that they had a problem with. If you read the rest of the church ages and see how whenever he addresses each angel, unto the angel of Ephesus, unto the angel of Smyrna, unto the angel on down, and then he words it a little bit different when he comes to the Laodiceans. To the angel of the Laodiceans. So he administers then the eyesalve to the apothecary of the Laodicean church age. Now he first starts out in his drugstore business and starts out as a Baptist. Well, of course, a Baptist will accept in a Baptist apothecary. But the Methodists are going to have our time and the Pentecostals will. So then God had to get him out of that in order to allow him to be kicked out. To get him out in the middle where he wasn't really identified as anything other than just being identified with Jesus Christ. Then he got to where he could call from the Baptists and the Methodists and the Church of God. And oh, they loved him when he come by. And he would pray for him and see visions over the sick. Oh, my, they thought it was absolutely wonderful. Every one of them wanted his anointing. I was thinking about it today. It's absolutely so amazing to me that this man is supposed to be such a false prophet and such a devil and so wrong and so evil. And yet every television evangelist, every one of these great people still wants his anointing. That sounds really strange to me. They want his anointing but don't want his teaching. Well, I don't want to offend you, but I'd rather have his teaching than I would his anointing because I'm not called to be Elijah. But I love this teaching of the word. You know what? I went up to the apothecary. All praise be to God. A man preached about him in my church in Kentucky. I got so mad I couldn't hardly stand it, because he came in there preaching about Brother Branham being Elijah. He didn't have the common courtesy to talk to me about it. It really aggravated me, and I got my Bible and I sat down and I thought, I'm going to prove him wrong, and me and him's going to have it out. So I got down and I sat down and I started reading my Bible in Matthew 11 and Luke chapter 17 verse 30 and Revelation 10 chapter 1 to 7 and Revelation 18, and I started reading and reading and reading, and the more I read, I fell right into a batch of eye salve. Oh, hallelujah to God. I wasn't looking for that man to black his eye, but I was looking to rub that eye salve in my eyes, because what I thought he was so wrong on, I realized while studying, oh my, to try to prove him wrong, I read myself right in. Because Harry had already been listening to tapes. I was praying for him secretly, that the Lord would help him not to be deceived. My wife had started listening to tapes. I was really praying for her as well. Of course, they was praying for me that I'd see, because I'm the big preacher. They're not supposed to know more than me. Well, if they fall into the vat of sand before you do, they may. That's why sometimes a wife will see something before the husband does. She can't help it because she's been in the honeypot. Our honeypot, my friends, is not like Pooh Bear. Our honeypot is eye salve. It rubs away our doubt. It rubs away our fear. It washes away. Oh, glory to God. I wish somebody would have church with me tonight. It rubs away our doubt and fear of missing the rapture. It rubs away that I'm just a Reagan. No, I'm not just a Reagan. I'm a seed of God. I'm a gene of God, an attribute of God. It rubs away that false identity. But of course, we're led to sins. And I'm going to run this by Dr. So-and-so. See what he says. Well, you can run it by Dr. So-and-so if you want to, but I'm kind of simple, I know. But if there was an old boy standing right here by me right now eating an apple, and Brother Wes wasn't, and I was really wanting to know what kind of apple that was. I mean, you do whatever you want. I'm going to ask the guy eating it. People go to all kinds of websites to find out whether this message is true. And every website they visit is folks that don't believe it's true. If you're looking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you're going to go to a Church of Christ website and a Baptist website which don't believe in the Holy Ghost, you might want to visit one of the people who say they've got it. I could ask everybody in this church, is that apple sweet? Is it a Gala? Is it from New Zealand? What kind of an apple is it? I mean, I could do all that and take all night. Or I could ask the guy who's eating it. But that's typical lay of sin. They've got to have a scientific explanation and a proof, because they specialize in manufacturing eye-save. And with their eye-save, you don't have to give up nothing. You can still drink and be a Christian. You can still hit drugs, and we've got Christian drug addicts, we've got Christian drunks, we got Christian rock and roll guys. It's amazing how many country and western stars are now Christians because Bill Gaither invites them on homecoming. We know what the prophet of God taught us about that. They shouldn't even be allowed to sing gospel music. But what have you got? You got a famous man like that that's refused the eye salve of Malachi 4. But they took their own eyesight of Laodicea, and they've got their eyes so full of it, they don't know what's right and wrong no more. They don't know if a man should marry a man or a woman should marry a woman. They don't know what's right and wrong. I'll tell you if you want to know. Lord, what in the world's the matter with me? Listen to this. I found this in history. There was a medical school located in Laodicea at the temple of Asclepius, which offered a special salve to heal the common eye troubles of the Middle East. Isn't it amazing? The medical school was located in a temple. So here they pull in the medicinal and the religious part together. So God offered them an eye salve. He said, well, where is it? Let me see it. Well, it's invisible. Oh, I see. Well, no, see, I would never, never rub anything in my eyes without seeing the ingredients. I mean, I have to at least see the newspaper article. I've got to at least talk to 47 witnesses. I've at least got to know if it's niacin, if it's thiamine, you know, is it hydroglycerides, or is it maybe battery acid? I mean, how do you kind of work? Can you expect me to rub something like this? And this comes from one man that was on the Isle of Patmos eating fish and clams. And, you know, they tell me people can go crazy being out there by themselves and that long in the sun. And yet you're fashioning your whole life because this one man says this.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Brother Donnie, I've searched and searched. I cannot find a newspaper article where 16 men fell off the bridge. Well, I'm not sorry that you couldn't find the newspaper article. I'm sorry you had to have it. Because that shows you don't have a faith walk. Brother Donnie, I've been visiting some of these websites and I've been going here and over there. You better be careful visiting some of that trash. Them devils will get off on you. You got questions about the message? Come to me. Got questions about the message? Come, Brother Darrell. Come, Brother. Don't visit a bunch of this trash out here that said them people don't know nothing or they're following a false prophet. Don't go to them. They don't even know anything about it, all the negative side and all that they've heard. Come on, children. Compare the eye salve they're rubbing in their eyes and see what it produces and ask yourself, is that what you want to become? Brother Donnie, why in the world do you preach this way? This next verse says it all. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Have you felt loved tonight, Brother Wayne? Have you felt loved? You ought to. As many as I love. Don't you understand why? He did not rebuke in the sense of sitting down with the Laodiceans. He sat down with them in council. So who's he rebuking? His children. Children, do you understand how loved you are? When you come to church and the Holy Ghost will rebuke you for things and you get offended by it, you ought to be shouting till your shoe heels fly and hit the ceiling. God don't even give this to Laodiceans. He gives it to his own. As many as I love. Don't think that I hate you, he said. Don't think that I'm chiding on you because I'm mean. I'm doing this because I love you. Amen. So much.
Amen.
Praise be to God. He that escapes reprehension from God, he that escapes correction from God, is not a son. This is a key that I found myself many years ago. There is a way by which, if God will help you, you can look through his time of anger and look to the purpose of his heart. How many of you ever felt like God was mad at you? Oh, cherubim people, I don't know. I thought y'all was on vacation, all you cherubims. How many of you ever felt like God was mad at you, angry with you, upset at you?
Okay, I didn't make my question clear, I guess. If you're able to look through that, Brother Randy, look at his heart. Why is he angry at me? He don't want to be. Why? Why? Why is he anointed preacher to just tear us to pieces? Why? Because he loves us.
So the temporary expression of his anger, or the temporary expression of his raising his voice, or crying out, comes only from a heart that is so filled with love. And that love comes from eternity. And this temporary expression of the harshness of a minister, or the harshness of anger trying to get your attention, is but a fleeting moment. But the true expression is from the heart of love that was before you before the foundation of the world. Can I have just a few more minutes for God? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I found this so amazing, the meaning of this word. It's present tense. It's a lifelong course of zeal. It's not like that you repent one time. You see, this is I really believe with all my heart. It's a very common misunderstanding. This is the opposite of lukewarm. Now, lukewarm stays where they are. They don't, God forgive me. And then they keep on doing the same thing. So eventually they say, why should I even ask him to forgive me? I mean, I've been asking 500 times and it made no difference. So why should I? So they just stop repenting then of those things they're doing. But the zeal that God tells us and the Laodiceans to have is a zeal to repent. And by having that will be an opposition to be lukewarm. You see, it's us exerting ourselves to turn from our sins. People have got in their mind God deals with a backslider the same way he does with a person who's never been saved. Wrong. You have no scriptural basis for such false conception. But Brother Donnie, Jesus said no man can come to him. That's right, when they first get saved. But when you're talking about a person repenting, you don't even need to feel the Spirit of God drawing your heart. Well, here we go. My. This isn't him way. He's already told them what to do. He didn't say, now wait till I draw you. Wait till I move on your heart. And then you can repent. He's telling them what they got to do. Repent. Be zealous. And they're waiting on him and he's waiting on them. He's telling them what to do. Don't wait to feel anything. Don't, well, I'm waiting for him to draw me. He done that when you was lost. This is an act of repentance of a backslider or a person that's got cold. Notice Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Nothing about waiting, nothing about sobbing, nothing about waiting on God. Where do we get this idea? I'll tell you where it's at. Carried over from Pentecost and Baptists and so on. Come on, friends, let me rub your eyes full of eyes saved tonight. Return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Jeremiah 3:12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. What's he telling them to do? This is what he's telling them. Come back. Repent. Come back. What did he tell the Laodiceans? Repent. They're waiting for music. They're waiting for an altar call. They're waiting for some kind of drawing. You don't know your Bible. When you see you're wrong, the thing you do is return and repent. I didn't feel nothing. Nothing said you had to. The devil has got you bluffed. Well, we're too in to stop now. I'm going to finish. I may have to borrow a few more minutes of your time. Notice this, Jeremiah 3:22. Return, you backsliding children. And I will heal your backside. Oh, where's God drawing? God wooing. God moving. And then, said, I'll feed it. God didn't say nothing about that. God said, get back to where you know you need to be. Jeremiah 35:15, I have sent thee also my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return now every man from his evil way and amend your doings, and go not after the gods to serve them, and you shall dwell in the land that I have given to you and to your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear. So the fault is not God. They might have been waiting on God. Oh God, I'm waiting for you to move on me the way you did when I called you out of Egypt. This is a different dispensation. God's not dealing with them the way he called them out of Egypt. This is dealing with backsliders, cold, indifferent people, not folks that ain't never been saved. Well, go ahead and preach, Brother Donnie. Malachi 3:7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. You've not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return. So where do we get this idea? He's going to return to us first, and then he's going to baby us along the way and give us a big pacifier with a nipple on the end of it about that big to put around our big fat lips. And we suck it all the way to the altar. You need a whooping. And I reckon you're getting it. Notice the sequence, Brother Terry. God said, you come back to me, and then I'll come back to you. You say, but that's the Old Testament. Oh, thank you. One of the most famous parables of the New Testament, Luke 15:17, the prodigal son. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will sit here and wait for conviction to strike my heart, and I will not move until I'm so driven that I stand there and shake the pulpit. Lies! His daddy was not standing at the hog pen. The pastor was not begging him to come back. The deacons wasn't calling him 47 times from Wednesday to Sunday, are you coming back to church? You see what we've got, friends? A bunch of soft, lazy, lukewarm Laodiceans. They don't come to church 3 times. Well, nobody called me. No, I'm not loved at the church. Nobody, 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 nobody. If you want to go to hell, go on. You hear me? I get sick of people using flimsy hell's excuses for not going to heaven. If you don't want to go, get out of my way. I'm going with you or without you. It's up to you where you go, but my mind is made up. I'm more determined now than I've ever been in my life. And if I do wrong, Brother West, I ain't waiting on God to convict me. If I do wrong, I got enough sense to know, repent. Amen. So let's take the modern message person. I need to get back in church. I made a mess of my life. I'm going to wait for Brother Donnie to call me. Sunday goes by. Next Sunday goes by. I'm waiting for the deacons to call me. Nobody calls you. Of course, then you put it on Facebook. And it's my fault. Or the deacon's fault, because we ain't got no love at the church. Why don't you admit the truth? You sorry Laodicean. You've got to be babied. You've got to be treated like a little 6-month-old baby with a bottle stuck in your mouth. I didn't come tonight with a bunch of diapers and Pampers stuck in my pockets. I got a sword. I said I got a sword. So this prodigal, well, I've waited and waited. It's been 3 months since I thought I'd go back to church. Nobody's called me. Nobody sent no cards. No texts, no emails. I'm going to the bar tonight.
Oh, did they send you a card? You hypocrite! Lord have mercy, children! Can't you see when people stand before God, their excuses will be more flimsy than that handkerchief? When people stand before God with such stuff as that at the day of judgment, and God will look at them with fire out of his eyes and say, depart from me. Go to hell. Because with the same zeal, they could have stirred themselves and went to the house of God. They went to a bar. Or some denominational pig pen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Notice this weird, strange guy. I will arise and go to my father. No invitation, no text, no email, not even a sign that he'll even be welcome. He don't know if when he gets there, Brother Randy, he'll have people meet him and say, get off of my property. You brought shame and reproach on me. Get out of here. I don't want to see you no more. He had not one promise, but he had memories. Woo! I said he had memories. He had memories of better days. I can imagine that he thought about the grace of God, Brother Darrell, and the grace of his father, thinking, oh my, if my daddy just let me work out there in the hog pen, if I'm out to slop hogs, why can't I do them at my daddy's house? I know I'll be treated a whole lot better. He had not one promise. He had not one thing to encourage him. What encouraged this boy? No phone calls, no texts, no pastor, no deacons. He was sick of where he was. That's a lot of folks' problems. They're not sick of where they are. Let me try to close. I will arise and go to my father. Amen. He still knows who his daddy is. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. See, this boy had enough sense to know. You not only sin against God, but you sin against family. You need to repent to both. Now, he ain't sure how this is going to turn out, but he's got a feeling it's got to be better than what it is. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, the door of the heart can only be opened from the inside. Jesus will knock. Service after service after service. What you're waiting for is the sweep of the door and the breeze that comes over you. But you're waiting for him to unlock it from the outside. Remember the famous artist that painted the picture? All the critics, you know, they looked at it. One guy said, your picture is beautiful. It's this. But he said, there's something wrong. He said, what is it, sir? He said, the door on the outside has no latch. He said, oh, I painted it thus, sir. You see, the latch is only on the inside. So what you're waiting on, the breeze of the door, you're waiting on Jesus to open it. He ain't got no way to do it. He ain't going to do it from that side. Oh, he can kick the door down. That's not the way he deals with us. So he's waiting on you to open it up. And when you do, then Jesus said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in. Let me close. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, notice where Jesus puts the ability to open the door. And open the door. So you hear, and then you open it. You don't hear and say, okay, Lord, go ahead. No, he said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have no latch on my side. But this is what he will do. I will come in to him and will sup. Now this is a short abbreviated word for have supper with. Can you imagine Jesus wanting to have supper with you? Jesus says, I want to have supper with you, but I can't really do it until you all open the door. But if you will, I promise, I'll come in. I'll even bring all the food. I'll bring the drink. I'll bring the food. And I'll bring all the decoration. I'll have a banner over you and I'll decorate the room. And his banner over me is love. Praise God. I'll have supper with you. But you'll have to open the door. Notice it in verse 21. We'll close. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Here's your reward, my friends. Those of you that have come up to this Laodicea purging and you fought and are fighting maybe these things, but you overcome, this is what you get. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. This is part of your reward. So you agreed with me tonight then. We need to get rid of this fox of lukewarmness. But Brother Donnie, what can I do? Lord, have mercy. You mean you still need to be told? I've been telling you for the last hour and 15 minutes. Well, I'm waiting on him. I'm waiting. No! No! Come to church. Change your attitude. Clap your hands. Worship. Pray. Read your Bible. That's you opening the door. That's you showing God, I'm here to have church tonight, Lord. I'm not a spectator. I'm a participator. Praise God. Pardon me. Oh, don't you love him? Let me read you this. 2 Timothy 3:1. This also know in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word kalipos. Fierce. Hard to do. Hard to take. Hard to bear. Troublesome. Dangerous. Harsh. Fierce. Savage. Does this sound like Elizabethan? Johnson City? Rome Mountain, Atlanta, New York, Washington. Trouble sometimes. Is it hard? Yes. But we're more than conquerors. But we won't do it by being lukewarm. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for people who desire to hear it preached straight. And then they want to take it and live it straight. Thank you, Father, for the gospel. Oh, it's hated, it's rejected. But Lord God, we thank you. Our faith has been, our hearts has been restored back to the faith of the original apostolic fathers. If Peter would have been here tonight, Paul, Andrew, Philemon, many of those first century brothers, Irenaeus, 2nd century, they would have screamed, hollered, shouted. They'd have praised God to think after 2,000 years, the truth is still being preached. But we'd have to sit down with them after church and have fellowship with them and tell them, look, brothers, it always wasn't this way with us. I'd have to tell them when I first started out preaching, as just a kid, I preached three gods. I'd pray to the Father, and then I'd pray to the Son, and then I'd pray to the Holy Ghost. And I preached tongues as the evidence. I preached eternal hell. I preached all kinds of things. Maybe Irenaeus would say, Brother Donnie, what happened to you, my brother? I'd have to say,
by God's grace, I went to the Monticello Bank and I borrowed some money. And I went up to Jeffersonville and I bought as many tapes as I could buy. I went to the apothecary. And I didn't wait for 3 more years to pray over it. I started listening to him as soon as I got in my vehicle heading back down the road. I'd have to say, Brother Ranius, I preached about God sending this prophet in March of 1983. And after the ministry
place him, of that I'm convinced. And then what many times we need to do becomes a part that's so difficult when our zeal dies. This is why we need to maintain a spiritual zeal, because spiritual things are always harder to do than carnal, natural things. We gravitate toward those natural things. It doesn't take near as much zeal to be carnal as it takes more zeal to be on fire for God. You did it that way, so only the elect would shine out. Father, I pray you'd help each of us tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, may the eyes save. Glory to God be applied to our eyes tonight, Lord. If we're losing vision of the cross, we're losing vision of the message. We're losing it, oh God, when we can't see us clear. Let me go back to the apothecary of the Word of God. All the Laodiceans will tell us, oh, they've got this, they've got that, they've got this for joy, they've got this for peace, they've got this when you're down,
they've got this when you're sad, they've got this, they've got all the fix, they say, all the answer. And yet more people are killing themselves every day than they've ever been known to history. The wealth, the famous, the rich. If anybody should have you'd think a desire to live, it'd be those who have everything. And yet some of them are killing it, even so much that our authorities are concerned that it's going to influence our generation of youth. Oh God, what the world needs is you. But they've crucified you again, Lord. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. May we not only talk this message and preach it, may we live it, may we eat it, may we believe it, may we speak it. Lord God, may it be alive. May the message be the flame of the hour, the prophet said, but may it not just be the flame of the hour, but the flame of our hearts. He sensed it in himself when he moved out to Arizona, didn't have a church to go to. And people say he can stay home and listen to tapes. Then people had the tapes and the books and the prophet himself. But when he dedicated the church, Brother Perry Green opened, he said, I see a cooling off among the brothers. Our kids riding their bicycles up and down the street instead of being in church. He said, I see a cooling off. They not only had the books and the tapes, they had Brother Branham himself, but they didn't have a church to go to. There's something about church. Thank you for church, Lord. There's where we go to get all kindled up and get our zeal renewed and our fire rekindled, Lord. Do it among us tonight, Lord Jesus, would you, Father? Praise God. Oh, my, just a month or so before he passes, him talking about how he longed to feel like he did when he first got saved. The mountaintop experiences. This man has walked where very few mortals could even dream about walking, much less ever walk. And yet some longing in his heart, all the deep revelations, all the miracles, all the supernatural, personally being visited by angels of God, yet longing to feel like he did when he first got saved. Oh, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Lord. Would you just come by this way tonight, Lord, and renew that feeling in some of our hearts, Father. Oh God, as we sing the song, Bring Back the New Again. Lord God, many, many here tonight, Father, it's not that they're running about and sinning and doing this and that. It's the laborious strain that they deal with of this age. The pressure of living in this time, the difficulty, the perilousness of Laodicea. It seems like we're so drained, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Come by this way tonight, Lord, with a refreshing, would you? The apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we read further in the book of Acts as they gathered together to pray that there come another filling. Lord, you just kind of, you sealed them already, but it's just like you topped them off, as we say. Oh, glory to God. Would you come by this way tonight, Lord, and just kind of top us off a little bit, Lord Jesus. Renew us, refresh us, Lord. Praise God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of God? I mean, just feel like you'd like to be renewed tonight in the presence of the Lord. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The prophet quoted that and said he hadn't lost his salvation. He just lost his joy. It's easy to do in this age, friends. You're so pressured, not just preachers. You as laity. You deal with so much every day. Oh my, what an age to live. But God wants us to overcome out of this age. God wants us to be victorious. If you need just a touch tonight from the presence of the Lord, praise God. Won't you just raise your hands and say, Lord, would you come by my way tonight? Lord Jesus, our hands are raised. Some may need healing. Some, Lord, need renewing. Some, Father, may need a repentance. Maybe they've been waiting tonight, Lord. I just marvel today as I looked at those scriptures, Lord, how you brought that together for me. I thank you for that, Lord. I just rejoiced in my heart when I saw that. Lord, about that repentance, I feel like that's a key that's important to so many people. They're waiting for something to happen to them. In reality, you're waiting on them. Lord, I thank you for making that real to me about the prodigal, Lord. It wasn't his daddy begging him. It wasn't nobody from the family begging him. It wasn't the deacons from the church. And nobody passed by from the church and saw him in the pig pen. But he saw himself, I'm in a mess. I need to go back to daddy's house. Nobody emailed him. Nobody texted him. Nobody called him. Nobody babied him. But he went back. He said, I'm sorry, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the house of God. I'm coming back. I need help. I'm desperate. Praise God. What did he find out? His daddy. His daddy didn't put him out there in the barn. He didn't put him out there in the backfield and say, well, stay out there for about 10 years and then we'll see if I can trust you or not. But he said, go get the best robe, which was his robe. Go get the best robe. Kill the fatted calf. Bring the ring. Give him authority. Put shoes on his feet. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he'd been waiting, he'd died out yonder in that pig pen waiting. But something stirred him and he realized there's something he had to do. All this was waiting for him whenever he responded to the right call. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, maybe there's somebody here tonight, a man, woman, boy, or girl. Maybe somebody will stream this service, Father. Maybe they've been wandering out there in that pig pen. Maybe it's a young girl, a young man. They've been playing around, playing, waiting on God, waiting on somebody. Oh, I've been praying Brother Donnie would speak to me, and this one would talk to me, and this one would do that and the other. The whole time you're waiting on them, God. Oh, Lord, I pray you would help them tonight if they could only realize the Father's robe is waiting for them. We don't want the black wool of Laodicea. Hallelujah! But we want that shining white garment purchased by the Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. We don't want Laodicea's gold. We don't want Laodicea's wealth. We want the gold tried in the fire. We don't want Laodicea's eye salve. I don't trust their ingredients. They mix up a little theology, a little bit of unbelief, a little bit of reasoning, a little bit of this, that, and other time they get done, you can't even have see. You don't know if there's one God, two God, three gods. You don't know if there's an eternal hell. You don't know what to believe. Oh, but God, this eye salve opens up our eyes. It might have seemed cruel and peculiar when you stooped down that day and that man was blind and you spit into the dust. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
This man would have had to went beyond mortality to even think in such a way. What in the world would cause a man to spit in dust? But if they'd only realized it was the man who had made the man's body in the beginning, he knows how to make them. Oh, glory be to God. Is that what you did there in the Garden of Eden? We don't know exactly. All we know is you made man. But when you stooped down there and made a little spittle and you rubbed it on his eyes and sent him to the pool of Siloam and he come back seeing, he might not have been able to explain all the ingredients in that spit. He might not have been able to do a diagnosis and say, is this really clean? The health office told me not to do this. All he knew was he once was blind, but now he can see. Praise be to God. It might have been crude. It might have been rough, but it worked. Help us to see the same thing. The preaching of the gospel might be rough. It might be crude. It might take the hide off our back, but it works. It produces sons and daughters of God that love you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Harry, sing that for us if you would. You love him tonight, saints, with all your heart. Let's just sing this together. Bring back the new again. Oh, praise God. If you just need a renewing tonight of your faith, of your love, your fellowship with the Lord Jesus, no sin in your life, you know, nothing like that. Let's just ask him just to come by, just a renewing, a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
I can still remember.
Yes, Lord.
Wonderful feeling.
Yes, Lord.
Back when I first got to know you. Seemed the world was mine. I had joy, I had springtime.
Yes, Lord.
But that's all just a memory anymore. I guess I took my eyes off you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I don't want this kind
of feeling
anymore.
Oh, Lord God.
Oh, please bring back the way it was.
This is after you open the door. Open the door and he'll bring it back.
Bring back.
Yes, Lord. The verse now.
It wasn't long ago when my heart was glowing.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Every new day was a challenge.
Oh, my.
But indifference turned me cold. Made things stale,
made them old.
Now I've lost that happy song I used to sing. It seems that I forgot the most important thing.
Oh, Lord God.
But I don't want this lonesome feeling anymore.
Hallelujah.
Lord, please bring back the way it was.
Everybody, let's sing it now.
Lord, I've been busy here and there, till life's burdens and its pleasures have crowded out my prayer. And now I find I'm empty, Lord, but if I'll confess my sin, would you let me feel your Spirit once again? Lord, I need to feel your power and your joy down in my soul, and the sweet peace that only comes when Jesus has control. I don't want to walk this road. I know where it ends. Would you let me feel your Spirit once again?
Do you realize how grateful we ought to be? I imagine when them saints that lived in Laodicea in 96 AD through whatever years it was, 98, 100, that those original saints that would have lived in that time frame, when they would have read this letter of the book of Revelation, and they looked at themselves and they looked at the city of Laodicea and they thought, thank you, God. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. Now here we are. Luther's people read this same scripture. Wesley's people read this same scripture. But Brother Scott, it wouldn't mean the same to them as it means to us. So here we are, living in the Laodicean age, still yet. We read what God said to Laodicea. We look around and see it every day. It's around us. And here we are saying, thank you, Jesus.
Well, we're not saying that we're better than them, Brother Phil. We're not saying, oh, I've done this. No, it's the grace of Almighty God. It's His gold, it's His white raiment, and it's His eye salve. Grace, grace, grace. Ain't nothing we could do except just receive it. Praise God. I don't mean we walk around with a stuck up head, but we thank God tonight. I mean we thank God that He's anointed us and helped us to see the truth. Think of it, friends. Some folks are turning away and walking away. Folks who've drunk from the cup of this great word. And they've drunk from this and going out yonder to that. Tell me, how in the world can it be done? Oh, thank God for the truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you tonight, Father. I fear we don't thank you enough and we're not appreciative enough. But I want you to know I appreciate this message, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us, oh God, enough to send us a prophet. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to stay straight. We haven't made God out of him. And Lord, we've not went into this direction and that direction. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, giving us desire to be a balanced people. We love you with all of our hearts. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, let's sing, I Never Shall Forget the Day. Let's just rejoice a little bit tonight before we go, can we? Yes, kind of get yourself together. You know, you got one arm laying over there cut off and one ear laying down there by your feet and one big toe. Kind of get yourself together if you can and, you know, get yourself kind of wrapped up. We're the only church locally here that we all leave looking like mummies. Mummies. We're all wrapped up after the word, but thank God one of these days you won't need them mummy bodies. You'll be changed. Praise God. Let's sing it together. Long years ago, went out in sin. I had no home, no peace within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus and He gladly set me free. Oh, I never shall. Oh, He made me happy.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Oh, you brought me a mighty long way. Mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You brought me, my Jesus. You brought,
you brought me
a mighty long way.
Oh, my.
I was a typical Laodicean, shouting Pentecostal, just as blind as I could be. Godhead, confused on election, wasn't sure about eternity. But then you anointed my eyes with coon grease. Oh, you helped me and let me see. Now you brought me, say Jesus, you brought me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, as we come to the end of the service, I pray you'd go with us, watch over us safely. Bring us back again in the morning if it be pleasing to you, Lord. As we gather once again to hear your word, thank you, Father. I know, Lord, that people wonder, why do you go to church so many times? Do you remember everything that you've ever heard? I really like a response I heard a man say many years ago, and somebody had asked him about going to church, and asked him could he remember at least 20 sermon titles and various things, and the man said, no, no, he didn't think he could. I said, well, what do you go for? He said, well, I'm 68 years old. If I multiply that three times a day, how many meals I've eaten, it would be thousands times thousands times thousands. I'm not sure that I could recall 20 meals that I eat either. But all I know is they've brought me thus far. Give me energy, give me strength. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. So sometimes we go to church, we'll get strong meat. Other times we'll get milk. Other times it may feel like we got buttermilk. Lord, if it was you that sent it, then so be it. We love you, Lord. Thank you for letting us gather here tonight. Father, go with us now, we pray. We worship you, dear God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, singing as we go. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord.